This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And a note before we go any further, this segment contains material of an adult nature and may not be appropriate for all listeners.
Earlier this year, WBUR's Common Health blog posted a story about some of the real reasons why people have unprotected sex. They might be worried about their reputations, or they don't want to damage the relationship, or they don't think it's necessary in a monogamous relationship.
The post garnered a lot of reader response. David Holdsman offered another reason he doesn't use a condom. He's getting older.
When you're young, it's like getting a massage over a shirt. Using one at my age is like getting a massage through an overcoat. I can't maintain an erection with a male condom on.
Holzman is 59, and in a recent follow-up article he posted on Common Health, Holzman wrote that he doesn't want to have unprotected sex, so he'd prefer it if his partner would consider an alternative, the female condom.
Problem is, he's had trouble finding them, and he's also discovered that not many women he knew had even heard of female condoms.
So whatever happened to the female condom? We talked earlier with Judy Norsegian, executive director of Our Bodies, Ourselves, the famed women's health advocacy organization.
So Judy, how exactly does a female condom work?
The female condom is basically a very simple device. Imagine two round rings that are flexible, and they're joined by a sheath. And in one ring, it's closed, and it's sort of like a pocket. And that ring covers the cervix. You insert it, covers the cervix. And the other ring is, of course, open, and the sheath covers the labia, but then the penis goes inside that ring, and that's how you get your barrier protection.
I remember when female condoms first were sort of made widely available, they were heralded as this new means by which women could take responsibility for their own protection. You wouldn't have to interrupt lovemaking. You didn't have to rely on a man to agree to wear it. We were supposed to have, you know, turned a corner with this.
Well, if you look back to that time, it was a very short PR campaign, not much money. And, of course, many people were making fun of it because the earlier iteration of the female condom made a little noise. The new one doesn't, you know, like birds twittering. People were thinking this was like a Rube Goldberg contraption. It was not well received, and it didn't have a lot of allies in the marketing. People were not really looking carefully at the acceptability from the studies, mostly in other countries. It got a really bad rap with the PR, not just the promotion by the manufacturers, very small, couldn't do much, but by the kind of twittering people did. And I mean that in the old sense, you know, it's like, oh, this looks ridiculous. And the idea of it turned people off. And yet it really has so many benefits over a male condom for some couples. For others, a male condom just works fine. It's really sad in a way that it started off with a little bit of a push, and most drugstores carried them. Now you can go into many drugstores where they'll say, well, we haven't had enough, you know,
demand.
Mm-hmm. And they don't even know there's a new iteration, a much better female condom, the FC2.
Would you like to see sort of a renewed push here in the United States for their
use? Absolutely. In the new 2011 edition of Our Bodies, Ourselves, we have a wonderful section on the female condom. When we go to conferences, when we're visiting women's studies programs, and we're talking about the whole array of women's reproductive and sexual health issues, we bring these with us, and we actually talk to students about whether they've heard of them, have they thought about them. There's occasionally the student who's really savvy and, you know, uses it with her boyfriend, and she thinks it's great. Most students don't know very much. So what we're hoping is that there could be a little bit more word of mouth, that folks could try it more and share their experiences. There are a few chat rooms I've seen, you know, discussions of this at, and I think it would be really terrific if more people would just give it a try and see that in many respects it has advantages over a male condom.
Why do you think they kind of disappeared for a while?
Oh, I just think it's totally because they weren't being bought enough. And, you know, the shelf space is precious in a drugstore, and that's the main reason. There was never a big pot of money to promote it with a PR campaign. It was very small amounts, and they mostly were nonprofit groups like ours, which have very few resources, tooting the benefits. And, you know, there are a few drawbacks. You know, one of the rare things that can happen is, you know, the penis can go around the edge of the rim. Rarely happens, but it can, and then you're sort of defeating the purpose of the condom. You're not inside the female condom. But things like that don't happen very often, and it's something that can be used easily and used well.
You know, this conversation, as we were saying, was initially brought to our attention because David Holzman essentially said that as he got older, He's 59 now. He was unable to maintain an erection while wearing a male condom, that it just wasn't working for him. And I wonder with our population as a whole in the United States, sort of, we have the baby boomers getting older. I mean, this is a serious issue for a lot of men.
It's not just older men. I mean, after these talks, college campuses, young men have come up to me and they've said, you know, that's a pretty neat thing, because there are some of us who have, you know, trouble when we fumble with a male condom, when we'd love not to have to think about putting it on. Erections are not so simple for a lot of younger men, too, but nobody likes to talk about it, because that's a part of, you know, your performance. And it eliminates that altogether, because as soon as you're aroused, you're erect, you just, you know, the female condom is put in place well before lovemaking. It really gets that out of the way. It's so much more attractive for couples that have that on their mind, man, or a woman who's sensitive to this. In fact, I know a young woman who said, I just told my partner I wanted to use the female condom because I liked it better. And her real reason was to end this kind of clumsy moment, and she didn't want to even discuss that.
Are there any drawbacks?
Not really. This really, I mean, it's not as effective contraception, just like a male condom isn't, because there is some room for user error. If you were using something like a long-acting injectable hormone or implantables, which many women have a host of physical problems with and sometimes really, you know, big problems, in contrast, you don't have health problems as a result.
But in terms of, for example, pregnancy risk, I've heard that it's 95% effective in preventing pregnancy versus around 98% for male condoms?
That's what you see at the Planned Parenthood website. And right now, of course, it depends on which studies you look at, and are you looking at experience with using contraceptives? And many people using the female condom are much less experienced. It's a new thing versus people have more experience sometimes with a male condom. We have to look more carefully. Some studies actually show higher efficacy.
Now, what about this idea that I'm certain, maybe a number of women think, that why there's so much responsibility heaped on women in terms of protecting themselves from unwanted pregnancies, from STIs, et cetera? Why not just leave this to be one thing that we ask men to do, like just wear a condom, guys?
Well, many women do. But I'll tell you, I know a lot of women who don't like that moment being interrupted. It's really for them that they're using a female condom, because they just want it to flow smoothly. So they're not doing it for their partner. They're doing it for themselves. The other thing is, you don't have other choices. If you want barrier protection, we don't have microbicides on the market that can do the trick the way we'd like. We've really got to think about what I said before, dual protection. If you're not in a mutually monogamous relationship, you know, it's more than just preventing pregnancy. You want to prevent disease transmission. So you have these two choices. And I think it's a lot more palatable choice than many people realize at first glance.
Judy Nursejian is the executive director of Our Bodies, Ourselves. Great to have you back on Radio Boston. Thank you so much, Judy.
Pleasure to be here.
There are links to the Common Health articles we talked about today at our website, radioboston.org.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com.
Our show is produced by Jessica Alpert, Dan Mazzi, Amory Sievertson, and Melissa Galvez. We had help from Rachel Gottbaum, and our interns are Michelle Woodward and Megan Dooley.
Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin.
Thanks today to Eddie
Mazzula.
Sorry, Eddie.
We just call him the Ed.
Just the Ed, who made the show sound technically so superb today. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.